Hey guys, welcome back to the Kingdom Dreamers podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Rieger, and today we're chatting with my cousin, Sally Barrett. Sally is a missionary in Brighton, England, and we had an awesome conversation about what a missionary is. And I would submit to you that you are a missionary. Wherever you are, you don't have to pack up your family and move to a foreign country in order to serve the Lord. You can be a witness right in around the people that God has placed you right around, in your work, at your job, the playground, your neighbors, people you meet at the coffee shop, people you see at a restaurant. Everywhere you go, you can be a missionary. And in this episode, I talked to Sally about how some very practical things on how to start that conversation, how to build those relationships with people that are around you, and also just about how to how you can build trust with people and start that conversation and turn the conversation from everyday things to spiritual things. Sally said something that was so good. If people trust you, then they can trust your motives. And so once people start to know, like, and trust you, then that door can be open to spiritual conversations. But just the way you live your life is a ministry to people and a light to people. So this was really, really good. Also, she said, you can find ways to be a missionary around your passion. We talked about an example of baseball. If you're into baseball, you could start a club, coach a team, just wherever you are and whatever God, those desires and interests God has placed in you, those can be used to meet people that are like you. So this was such a good episode. If you want to check out what Sally is doing, she actually serves in a gym, a physical, like a fitness gym, and witnesses to people there. And it's so cool. Her ministry is built around that. So I know it's a little bit outside the box, but that's the kind of things we like to talk about on this show, is outside the box ways to serve the Lord and do ministry. Here is my interview with my cousin, Sally. Sally, welcome to Kingdom Dreamers.
Hello. Thank you.
Good to see you. So guys, this is my cousin, and she serves in Brighton, England with Greater Europe Mission, which is a missions organization. I'd heard that, so I'm closely aligned, or, you know, because I have friends with Globe Mission, Globe International, and they started in 1973, but I understand, John was telling me, your president, CEO, started like right after World War II. So like this is, Jim's been around for a very long time.
Yes. And it pretty much came out because of the war was how it was originally started. Yeah. So the founder of it, Bob Evans, which for those who are from the Midwest will find that entertaining, not the Bob Evans, but he still has a great name. He was stationed as a, like a reverend overseas during the war.
Okay.
And yeah, that's how it got started in France originally.
Awesome. Wow, cool. I should probably have John on too, but I want to hear your story. I love, on my other podcast, Streams of Income, you were on a couple years ago and talked about your story. But we probably talked, I don't know if we talked, we went back to everything you've done in ministry. So tell us your ministry story, how you got started and what you're doing now.
Yeah, so originally I was working with Campus Crusade for Christ. I'd gotten involved with them as a university student, loved it. Thought, wait, you could talk about Jesus full time? That sounds great. So I thought, I'll go overseas for like a year. So I went over to Ljubljana, Slovenia in Central Europe, served there working with high school and university students and helping to lead a local team there. I thought I'd be there for a year, ended up staying for a decade. So a little bit different. And then it was during that time where I just saw the Lord growing my interest of working with university students who I had enjoyed being with, but to an extent to see, wow, like I could really be able to use ministry in so many other facets. Mm-hmm. And one area that I was really passionate about was fitness, and seeing how the Lord used my testimony in fitness and how I viewed my body and value and worth as a means and platform for evangelism. So after that, switched it up, ended up getting connected with Greater Europe Mission, and moving over to Brighton, England to work with them and to also pursue using fitness as a platform for evangelism.
Wow. What does that look like practically? Like, how does that even work?
Oh, yeah. No, it's fun. Well, it happens in different ways. I think it also depends if you're wanting to do it as just like a platform for initiating, or if you're a part of a gym who's doing it within the actual gym. Okay. So the gym that I'm a part of is a holistic approach. Holistic, not in this over spirituality type holistic that sometimes people can think of, but holistic in the aspect of body, mind, and spirit. Mm-hmm. And so within that, they will talk to people, and sorry, my phone just went off. Okay. People. So as they talk about holistic, people are coming into the gym because, yes, they want to see progress in a fitness capacity, but they're also wanting to have a well-rounded life. And so when people come in, we're having conversations about anything from body, mind, and spirit. Uh-huh. Could be emotional intelligence, you know, talking about where they're at mentally, relationally, spiritually. So we talk about all these different spheres. Mm-hmm. And then from that, that allows us to really build relationships with individuals, mm-hmm. Get to know what's going on in their lives, not just on a day-to-day level, but even on a heart level. Yeah. And then from there, it's just a very easy transition to get into deeper conversation. Wow. Sometimes that can be at the gym. If someone said, hey, my mom just got diagnosed with this rare disease, you know, then we can take time to pray with them. It could be, hey, do you want to go for a walk or grab a coffee sometime? In which many times that allows you to have an evangelistic conversation or share the gospel. So it's just, I don't know. I think people are always thinking that doing evangelism or doing ministry, you have to be a specific type of person, or you have to have all of these cards that you can pull out and be able to say, oh, when someone says this, I can pull out this. But I've noticed the times it's easiest are the times when you're walking closely with the Lord and it's already on your mind. Mm-hmm. And so you're just naturally talking about it. Like, yeah. You know, you're meeting up with a friend and they ask you like, oh, so have you been reading anything recently? Well, yeah, I've read this book about spiritual formation, or actually recently, I've been reading the Bible on a daily basis, I've been thinking a lot about the life of Moses, you know, like,
yeah,
you just, when you talk to people, you just talk about the things going on in your life. So why should it be any different with your relationship with the Lord?
That's good. People compartmentalize it though, don't they? Like, or they're afraid to go there.
They are. But I always just try to remind people that if you genuinely care about someone, mm-hmm. and you're just sharing your life with them and you're digging into their life, mm-hmm. then more times than not, like, they're not going to be offended. At times, yeah. they might feel uncomfortable.
Sure.
Hopefully you have self-awareness and you can read that and you can say, okay, I put that out there and that's enough. But I don't think I've ever had a time where after I've done some type of initiative, I thought, I wish I wouldn't have done that. Mm. Like, normally I can read the room enough to say, like, that's where it needs to stop.
Yeah.
Or actually, like, this person's sharing a lot. Maybe I should push into it a little bit more. Maybe I should ask, like, do you come from a spiritual background? Did you ever go to church? You know, you start... The more you do it, the more practice you have, the easier it is to engage good. With people.
What are some examples that can you name? I don't, without naming names or giving full details of somebody's life, what's some examples of, since you've been there in England or even back in Slovenia, of those, that relational one-to-one type evangelism, which is probably the way it should be done anyway, right?
Yeah. I would say recently, some of the ways I've seen it most has been through the response to prayer, mm-hmm. which is great, because this is something I've been really feeling like the Lord had been challenging me over the past year of, like, mm-hmm. are you really a person of prayer? I'm like, that's conviction. And so I just started noticing that, like, it is such an easy win with people. Even if people are not spiritual, mm-hmm. when they are in dire need, somehow they become spiritual, or they have an openness to maybe there is a God, you know? And so times where maybe people were feeling unwell, where they would even come to me and say, hey, this is going on. I know you believe prayer works. Will you pray for me? I've actually had people say that, of like, I don't believe this. I'm not sure if I do. And the cool part is many times people have come back to me and said, if you prayed for it, I think God heard your prayer because I feel so much better.
Wow.
Or because I got a reaction, like I got a conversation with this person or this went well. And so I think just offering prayer
Are you praying with people right there on the spot or doing it? Assuming that the social situation allows it.
Yeah, I would say social situation. In the gym, normally I would say like, hey, like pull them aside afterwards. Hey, would it be all right if I pray for you? And if they seem a little uncomfortable, I might even say like, if you don't feel comfortable right now, like just so you, if it's okay, I'll be praying for you afterwards, you know? And I think one thing I've noticed, I've done this for the past few years, that people really appreciate. If they give you a prayer request and they aren't with you in person, send them a recording or write out your prayer to them.
That's really
the
good.
Number of people I have done that to who have said, no one's ever prayed for me. I didn't, when I send out prayer requests, I don't think people are actually going to respond to them. Like, people actually respond to that. And so that has allowed for, even here in Brighton, a lot of conversations with friends or people I meet out and about has just been through prayer and like following up on prayer requests.
Okay.
Hey, last week I was praying for you. How did that go? If they give you updates, pray for it again. Every single time, send them that voice memo. And like, it really impacts people because at least when I think of a city like Brighton, like there are very few believers here and very few people who know believers.
Wow.
And so I just think that speaks volumes.
So how's that look like? So if I was talking to you and you're saying, hey, I just, gone through something and you tell me what it is, I would actually like get out my phone and say, and I'm praying. So dear Lord, I lift up Sally to you today as I'm recording a voice memo on my phone. I pray for this. I speak healing over her in the name of Jesus. I pray this scripture, whatever. And then I get done in the name of Jesus. Amen. I hit it. And then I just literally send you that prayer.
Yeah, I would say more in the time. So this would be, you're texting someone. Someone comes to mind. Hey, I thought of you today. I was just wondering if by chance I could pray for you. Or maybe you remember they mentioned something stressful or they text you something like, it's been a horrible day. Yeah. I'll say, whether they ask for it or not, I just might send it anyways, you know?
Okay.
Hey, I was just thinking of you and I'm not sure how you'll feel about this, but I was praying for you. And so I just wanted to send it to you. And then as I'm praying, I'll just record it. Dear Lord.
That's awesome.
I pray for Ryan today, you know, and like, I'll go through it. And then afterwards, sometimes I might even say, you know, in addition, like this specific verse really spoke to me and I think you'll find it encouraging. And people love it. I mean, I've had people do that back to me in response and I love it because it's that thing when someone's like, can I pray for you? And you say, yes, here's my prayer request. And they're like, I'll be praying. And you're like, I hope so. So
right.
It lets them know, like, I'm not just saying I will pray for you. Like, I have prayed for you.
That's so cool.
So,
man, yeah. That's something that anybody, you don't have to be a quote missionary. I feel like we're all missionaries, really.
Correct.
But you don't have to be what we see as a normal. Well, okay. The normal missionary to my mind is somebody that like, I'm going to pick up and go to a far off country. I'm going to help kids or feed people or do something like that. So what you're doing wouldn't be quote normal to what most people would think as a missionary, but it's still very much mission work. And then they think, well, I live here in the United States and I have a normal job. I'm not a missionary. Well, you are, because you might have like 50 people around you in your cubicle or your office. And so that's your mission field. Or wherever you go, if you go to a gym, that's your mission field. And so that's what you just said right there is a really cool way for people to do ministry without feeling like I have to sell everything and go to some faraway country that I don't feel called to.
Yeah. And I mean, I spent 10 years doing ministry where it was very, very like clear evangelistic minded in the sense of like, we're going up to people, we're starting conversations. Hi, I'm with a Christian organization, you know, where it was very intentional and you got into loads of conversations, but the percentage of them turning into lifelong relationships was a much smaller percentage because you're catching people off guard. I still believe the Lord can work through that. I had so many great conversations. And there's an aspect of me that really enjoys that, like just getting to the point, like what's going on in your life. But for the majority of people who, especially if they have a 9-to-5, they have kids, they have hobbies, they're going to their church, their main people in which they're going to be reaching out to are the people in their neighborhood, are their coworkers, you know? And so because of that, you are playing the long game. Mm-hmm. Like, if you're direct, you might be burning a bridge right away. Right, and you also don't want to just get into it for the sake of just like, I feel like I have to get straight to the gospel every time. Mm-hmm. You know, like the thing is like, you see the Lord work in so many different ways and you read the stories and Jesus knew each person he was talking to. Yeah. You read Paul, like he knew the people he was talking to. He knew, okay, I need to talk about this because these people are Jewish, you know, like, and so playing the long game sometimes means you got to build up that relationship first and understand who you're talking to. Because if you start going in and you're thinking, oh, this person's like really relational, but really like there's someone that has a lot of questions regarding, you know, theology, or they want to get into the itty gritty things, like you're going to respond to them differently than it's someone who's maybe experienced abuse and they're wondering like, how could God be good? You know, you're going to go two different types of conversations for those. So with that, like just being mindful that service does so much. You hear someone in need, go take them cookies. You see someone's lonely, ask them to go for coffee or bring them into your home. I'm just like, if you have regular patterns as a family, you sit down at a table, you do a devotional. When someone comes into your house, there's no need to change that. It's your home. Just say, hey, I hope it's okay. I hope you don't mind, but we're just going to pray together and we have a little devotional. You don't have to participate. It's just going to take us about 10 minutes and still do it. You know, they might engage, they might not. But just finding those little ways. One of my other favorite parts, again, dealing with prayer, I had a friend invite me and my boyfriend over and we were at her table and we're right about to eat. And I was just like, hey, I hope you don't mind, but like, we always pray before we eat. You're welcome to join us, but you don't have to. It's fine if you don't want to. And she's just like, so excited. She's like, I've never been asked if someone wants to pray with me. She's like, oh, okay. What do I do? So I'm like, well, we like to hold hands. You're welcome to hold hands with us. And she's like, oh my goodness, this is so cute. And so she just like got so excited afterwards. She said, that was beautiful. Wow. I have never been a part of that before. That was beautiful. And so now she'll still ask me like, or talk about it. You remember that time when we were at my dinner table, we prayed together, you know, and this is someone who's not religious. And so I think if people trust you, they can also then trust your motives.
Oh, that's good. Yes. And they can't trust you if they don't build a relationship with you.
Yeah.
People trust you. What you said there was gold. If people trust you, then they can trust your motives.
Yeah.
So good. So for you is being a missionary, is it like just every day? Like you may even be at a restaurant and the Lord lays somebody on your heart, or a waitress and you talk to them and start a conversation? Or I mean, like, it's not just for you, it's not just when I'm at the gym and I'm dealing with clients. It's like every day.
Yeah. So I would say like my platform for wanting to use fitness as a form of evangelism comes from my personal story. I had gotten out of breakup. I had a really healthy relationship with health and fitness, and as a means of coping from the breakup, as a means of wanting to find value and worth and security, I went complete on the deep end and just overworked out, really restrictive in terms of what I was eating, and just became very obsessive and thought if I looked a certain way, maybe this person would want me back. And in the process, I felt horrible. Like I looked my best, and yet the Lord showed me, wow, like I'm seeking after all the wrong things. And this, like, health, a healthy lifestyle is good up to a point, but you can't make it an idol. It will always fail. It will never be consistent. Yep. And the Lord began to show me, like, the things you're desiring worth, you're desiring value, you're desiring community and love. Like, those are the things you can find in me. And so what does it look like to desire to have a overall healthy life, but to not make it an idol in your life? And so the Lord began to use that and put that passion on me to talk with other people and use that as a platform to say, okay, so what is going on in your life? Why are you coming to the gym? So you've been really stressed. You're seeing this as a great stress reliever. Absolutely. But like, what things are making you stress and why? And how do you deal with anxiety? And, you know, it allows you to get into deeper conversations. And so that is the platform I use. But honestly, like, I'm only in the gym a few hours a week. Most of the things I'm doing is interacting with people I've met, whether from the gym or elsewhere. It's purely a platform to begin conversations because it's an area of passion. It's an area of interest for me. And so I just recommend people to find what's their area of passion. Like, maybe it is going to your gym and building relationships there. Maybe it's interacting with the poor. You know, find an area that you're passionate about that's easy for you to build relationships. It's easy for you to connect with people, and then use that as a stepping stone. Build those relationships, meet up with people. For me, I love going on walks. People who go to the gym also love going on walks. So I'll ask them to go on walks. I'll ask them if they want to come over for a dinner or go for a coffee. But outside of that, it's like, I'm just always praying. Like, if I go to a coffee shop, I'm praying like, Lord, how do you want me to use this time? Do you want me to use this time to get work done? Do you want me to use this time to read a book or the Bible? Or do you want me to use this time to engage with someone? And sometimes that means you are like listening into people's conversations, and I hear that they're struggling, you know, and you're just like, oh, excuse me. But like, just being open to the fact that like, our time is not our own. It is the Lord's. And maybe you going to work at a coffee shop is really the Lord saying, I've sat you beside this person because they're in mourning and they need a comforter. And I'm that ultimate comforter.
And he's doing that through you, because he's not like,
That's right.
Not that he couldn't, like, bodily form walk into a coffee shop in Brighton, England, but
there you go.
99.9% of the time he's going to work through us.
That's right. Wow. And so I think it's that opportunity to say like, hey, I may not know exactly what you've been through, but I have sought many times a need for a comforter, and let me tell you about them, you know? And so it allows you to engage with people. So I've met people all over the place. I have, you know, gone up to people just because I was bored and lonely and they were sitting on the beach and I asked if I could sit beside them. I've made friends at a coffee shop because I heard they were speaking a Slavic language and I do too. You know, it's just anywhere and everywhere.
Wow. That's so awesome.
I would also like encourage people, if they're in a place where they're really, really wanting to make an impact, maybe they don't know how. Because some people know, they're like, this is what I'm passionate about. And some people have no clue. Then I would say, give yourself like a time limit. Maybe it is 4 months. For me, mine was 6 weeks. You know, I said, I'm going to say yes to everything in these 6 weeks, and I'm going to be bold these 6 weeks. And then see what relationships stick, see what things you enjoyed most or where you were most passionate. If you notice that actually the times I felt like I got into the best conversations was when I was at the library, then maybe that's your thing. If it's when you were being extremely bold, maybe that's it too. So I would just say, like, experiment with it and say, okay, like I'm just gonna go to like tons of events in this next month, or I'm gonna go reach out to all of my neighbors in this next month. Like, find a time period that is realistic for yourself and be intentional with that time period, and just take note of what you've noticed the Lord doing within it. Good. And where you felt like you felt most alive, but also where you noticed like, oh, here's where he was using my giftings, or here's a spiritual gift I didn't even realize, but he continued to show me over and over again. Like, this is something he wants me to push into. So
that almost could sounds like a you could do do something online. Like, you've done the fitness challenges before. This could almost be like a 6 week, 10 week, whatever you what do you call it, a challenge where people join you online and you go live and you give them some instructional information. So for Milena, it might be call up neighbors and go to coffee with them, invite them over, play dates potentially. Hey, you have a we have a 6 year old, and so you also have a kid about that age. Let's go on a play date. But in the back of your mind, you're hoping to start a conversation. And you may not go right to the gospel right away. You may not even get to that in months from now, but you're building that relationship. That's correct. Really good. You could like be turning out all these evangelist people all over that, but they're doing it in a natural way around something that they're passionate about.
Yeah. And we see more and more, there's always studies coming out that saying like this generation is one of like the loneliest generations. Mm. One of the things they deal with most is loneliness. And so
about the people that are what age right now?
Gen Z.
Okay.
And so within that, and I think that's just true in general, like we've moved from cultures where people are living in multi-generational homes, where things are very, very separated. You are more likely to engage and like drive 30 minutes to meet up with a group of people than to engage with your own neighbors. Mm-hmm. I mean, you look at the churches, the average church in America, people used to go to the church that was just down the road. Now they're driving to go to a large church complex because that church is able to offer them great events, resources, Bible studies, but it means they're not getting plugged in locally. They don't know the people that live across the street. And so because of that, like there are good things and there are bad things, but you see, unless you're willing to take the initiative, mm-hmm. people are going to be easily isolated because now people are going to outside sources to meet people. It's not in their local community. And so I think we have a great opportunity to serve people and a great opportunity to reach out to them because so many people are craving and desiring relationship. And we not only are able to give them that human relationship that many of them are desiring and wanting, we get to connect them to the local community of the church, Christ community, and we get to connect them to Jesus himself. And so it's like we're hitting all of their relational needs at once.
Okay. Let's say that, so Callan is six. Let's say that he's about to go into T-ball or something. And let's say I'm passionate about baseball. I played baseball in college or something. And I just love baseball. How would I take that? And what would be some ideas? Like, I don't feel called to move to Africa. I don't feel called to move to Brighton, England. But I love baseball and I love Jesus. And I want to use that as a platform. What are some ideas that you would have for that person, that dad, to affect other people for the Lord through my passion?
Ooh, I think there's several things you could do. You could either, you know, set up a local community baseball team. Mm-hmm. You could do outreaches that either are about different programs of trying to bring people in. If you know of any people who are in baseball, who are believers, having them try to connect them to come in locally to get more people there. Yeah. You could even have things that are more specific for people who enjoy like collecting baseball cards and having an event that's focused around that. Mm-hmm. You could try to do like small outreaches where maybe it's like, hey, we as a baseball team are going to go do an outreach. And so maybe it's not even about baseball, but you are getting people together then to go do an outreach. People who have that common interest doing another thing together to serve.
That's good.
And then I just think many times, like, people like doing new things and being a part of new stuff. And so if you do have an interest in baseball, then being able to provide free services to communities that don't have them is often
That's
a great
good.
way to be able to serve, to be able to connect with other people. And it often then gets those who maybe have like a higher influence to also get involved as well. So I think there are so many different ways that you could use it. Some
Would
of
you
them
boil missions
might.
down to just connect with other people, build relationships, and let the Holy Spirit lead you?
Yes.
I mean, really, like, because, yeah, I mean, because you could be like, I'm going to win my neighbor to the Lord, and you go over there, knock on the door, hand them a tract, and talk about the Bible. You may have, like, burned that bridge forever. Whereas just, hey, here's some cookies, welcome to the neighborhood. And then the next week, you see them out, and you start talking to them, and it's like, it's that long game. Like, we want to get right to the point. We want them saved tomorrow. Well, it may not be for another 6 years.
But I would say within that, I think there is that evaluation point. Have I gotten to the point where I'm only playing the long play game and I'm not being bold? Like, has the Lord gotten me to a place where he's asking me to be bold and I'm being disobedient? So you do also have to figure that out, because sometimes the Lord is giving us a very clear opportunity and we're
What
just
is those
like,
so what do those opportunities look like for you? I know they're complete, totally different. It could just be where they bring up something in their life and you ask to pray for them and that's your end. But what are some examples of those turning points from where we just were friends and it got to you were able to start have a spiritual conversation?
I would say for most of them, that's a good question, because it's so dependent on the person. But I think it would just be where, like, having spiritual conversations can be pretty easy, and being able to share, like, this is where I'm at, and the person having the comfortability to share where they're at, even if it's two opposing
So how do you
ideas.
break that up? Like,
Those
if
are
we literally, like,
easy
Lorraine is hanging
conversations.
out with the new mom and they're having a play date and they've had two of them so far, how does she go from talking about school and normal life stuff to, oh, hey, I'm also a Christian, by the way? Like, that seems a little bit awkward.
Yeah, I would say I normally start with outside input. So have you been watching anything recently? Have you been reading anything? Then being prepared to say, well, or just even saying, like, you know what's really interesting? The other day, I heard this article about such and such. Just thinking, like, how do most people bring up conversations? It's from things they've heard, they've seen, they're thinking about. So do one of those, you know. Oh, me and my husband, we just got into a conversation the other day about this. Or it could be if you know that person's married or desiring to be married, maybe you're talking about your marriage, you know. Like, one of the biggest topics of conversation that gets me into spiritual conversation is dating.
Okay.
When I moved to Brighton, the number of first dates I went on is too high to count. But it always ended up that I would break it off after the first date because I saw that they weren't really walking with the Lord, you know? So when I met my boyfriend and it's turned into date after date after date, you know, people were always so curious. They wanted to learn more. They also knew, like, this is a girl who she prioritized someone who's a believer. She is wanting to wait until marriage in terms of purity, you know, things like that. And those things, like, not only did they know me and my values, but it led for deeper conversations. Okay, why is it that way? It's not just because I grew up in the church and I heard that you should do that. Like, this is a deep conviction, but why is it, you know? So I just starting with things you're thinking about or going on your heart, asking them. Sometimes it might just start with you share and they're like, oh, okay. But more times than not, they might say, oh yeah, I've thought about something similar, or, oh, interesting, I've never thought of it that way. Can you tell me more? And then I think those are the easier parts. It's when it then becomes to the getting them to start maybe questioning and not just saying, like, what you think is good, but really challenging them to. So I know we've talked about this a few times. But I'm actually really curious, like when I say these things, what do you think? Do you think I sound crazy? Like what's been your, like I talk a lot about my faith or I talk about God a lot, but what has been your past look like in terms of faith? You know, like
Yeah.
At some point you do have to make that turn.
That's
And
right.
That can be a little bit scarier, but I think if you go into it prayerfully and if you do it genuinely,
Yes.
then it's more often it turns out better than not.
Yeah.
So.
When you were with Crew in Slovenia, did they teach you these, I mean, things, or was it all learned by just experience?
Both. Like
Okay.
we learned a lot in terms of maybe apologetics.
Uh-huh.
We learned a lot in terms of ways to do initiative evangelism or to lead Bible studies. But honestly, it's just practice. The more you do
Yeah.
it, the more you realize, like, this is how people might respond to this, or this is something I noticed was really led into a good conversation. So I think practice just really helps. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you feel, because you realize, like, it doesn't have to be awkward. Like, that was my biggest thing. I would tell people, if you feel awkward, of course they're gonna feel awkward. Like,
Yeah.
people like to be around confident people.
Yes.
Like, when you look at the most successful people and the people that always have people around them, they're confident. So I'm like, why would you go into something you believe any differently? You don't have to be cocky. You don't have to be mean or condescending, but just like be enjoyable, be confident. Hey, and just go for it. So
that's so good. Do you know of any place? I'm sure there is. Do you know of any place online that's teaching this, like an online course with a community of people that are like, hey, we're just regular folks. We have regular jobs. We don't live anywhere exotic. We live in Yorktown, Indiana, and we are able to share our faith in the workplace, at the school, at the gym, in the playground, and we've learned it from, you know, this. I wonder if there's a just place out there that's equipping Christians like this. I mean, the church should be doing this, but I don't know if there is.
I think, yeah, I definitely think the church. This is actually something that I want to start at our church, because I noticed that people have a desire and they either don't do it because they don't know where to start, or when they do it, they go like the complete opposite end where they're like the people on the street corner, which I've been there, and fruit can come from it. But for the amount of effort you're putting in, you see very little fruit, you know?
Yeah.
So that's something I was like, I see there is a great need for this.
So you talk to a lot of people that are believers that want to learn how to share their faith better in a natural way, not in a weird, like stand on the street corner way.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll see people who want to do that. Or like, you also just always get the question of like, or statement, oh, you could do this, but I never could do this.
Yeah, because
Or,
you're more,
oh, how would you do it with this?
Extroverted than most people. And so like you
Yeah.
probably could even train an introvert how to do this in a way that's comfortable to them.
Absolutely. And I would say like, you don't have to be extroverted or have a big personality to be able to do it, as long as you're sincere and love the Lord. Because we're, as believers, we're all called to do this, to go and fulfill the Great Commission. And so whether that is locally or going over across the sea, like if we have a spirit inside of us, he has already equipped us and prepared us to do his work.
That's
we
so
just
good.
have to take the steps and make the effort to do it.
If you want to talk offline about this, I feel like there could be something here with just some like online program for people who are believers that want to learn how to be evangelists right where they are placed right now. And
that
in
would
a
be
way
fun.
that's comfortable for them. Because I imagine if you had to like write a book about this, like how to be an evangelist in your own area, your own town, you probably already know right here what you would put in that book. Well, that's what the course would be about. It just goes step by step and take people through this. And that would be the basis of a course. And you add a community piece to it where people could ask questions and
that would be great.
There's something.
Things I'm already thinking about anyways.
Okay. It's almost to be like an evangelism school, evangelism training.
Yeah.
Because I have a friend, I don't know if you've you haven't met her online, but she's a good friend of mine named Melissa Hughes, who's she started posting, she felt the Lord Well, so she and her husband moved to Wales to become missionaries. And then they were there for a short time because he got in a car accident. They moved home, and she felt the Lord start telling her to post videos online. So her first video on TikTok went viral, and she ended up on the Kelly Clarkson show. She has a strong evangelist. See, she reminds me a little bit of you. She has a very strong evangelism heart and teaches people how to share their message on social media. Now, she has a coaching business for social media. She has a social media agency for business owners and ministries too. But I could see she has an evangelism training for social media. So for regular people, how to show up on camera, like how to just pull out your phone and just share your story. Because not everybody's going to listen to a famous preacher, or they may be turned off by certain personalities in the Christian world and never listen to that. But if you, Sally, are posting like, oh, I know Sally, she's my friend, I trust her, oh, that's really cool. Like, there's going to be people that are going to come to the Lord through you. And just like, and you're going to attract certain people. And so if you're sharing your story, it may become real to somebody after you share yours compared to somebody else that they see. So there could be some synergy there with Melissa too.
Yeah. No, this is truly something that I have been talking about with Reese. That I was like, I see that it is a big disconnect for people kind of knowing how to bridge that. And even just seeing that, like, if you start taking steps, like it doesn't have to be anything crazy. Like, it doesn't mean you have to always be doing stuff out of your comfort zone. They can be like simple steps that then can make an impact. And
you
so
totally, you guys do that together. I'd be willing to help you on this. If you want to talk more about this, let me know. But I remember when we were there, he brought a guy to church that wasn't he. So Reese is a plumber. He wasn't in this dude's house doing a job, and then built a relationship and ended up bringing him to church.
Yep. That's right.
Yeah. So it doesn't have to be weird. And it just, I'd love to hear how that started. Like so he's in there, you know, just doing his job. How did he turn? Because that's not a long game play there. That's like, I have 60 minutes here in this dude's house. I wonder how that conversation turned spiritual so quickly, or what he did to convince this guy to come to church with him.
I think his main tactic is, you know, sharing a story. Uh-huh. And then Alpha Course is very common in England, and it's where people can come, and it's a course to learn about Christianity and ask questions. And so that's his main thing, is just saying, hey, like, this is something that made a huge impact on me. And if you have these questions, let me get you connected to Alpha Course. And so, like, yeah, that's like his end, because it's something he's passionate about. Wow. He like has this crazy story of coming to know the Lord. And so he'll share that. But he also knows that Alpha Course has been very beneficial in his walk, as well as the impact of others, that like you just share about the things that you believe in. And so if you're like, I believe wholeheartedly that blue cheese is the best cheese, you're going to tell everyone, you know, I believe that Alpha Course is impactful. You're going to want to tell other people.
That's so good. Wow. Okay. Well, let's talk more about that. Any other tips? I think this has been fantastic, just to equip people who are don't feel like they're missionaries, to help them realize that you actually are. And so how, and you just give them the confidence to start having conversations.
Yeah. I would say just kind of like, maybe just take a week where you're taking note of how you use your time. And then just say, what can I do within this time? If you're at home and you're a mom and you don't get out too much, maybe you go more the texting route. Maybe it's when people come into your house, like the plumber comes into your house and fix it. Then maybe it's like you make sure you have some cookies prepared for them and you allow them a time to rest. You know, things like that, of just kind of mapping out what is my capacity? Where am I at already? Maybe that the Lord's calling you to do something new and add something in. But most of the time, it's just being where you're already present and taking initiative there. That's awesome. So,
there's a school around this. So let's talk more about that.
Okay.
And
Deal.
lastly, not and most very important,
Oh.
how can people support you?
Yeah, so I work with an international Christian organization, Greater Europe Mission. And so you can go on their website. I can also send you a link where if you have a desire to be a part of my team, I have individuals as well as churches who are donors who help to then support so that I can then live here, work, help train other missionaries, give placements to other missionaries, but also use evangelism fitness as a platform to interact with people and do discipleship and Bible studies and you name it, anything that I can to engage people to God's word. So if you're interested, feel free to join my
All right,
team.
I'll put a link in the show notes directly to your page so they don't have to go searching around.
Sounds good.
Well, thank you, Sally. Appreciate you being on.
Thank you. It's been fun.